at the beginning of the third perek, the Gemara has a whole discussion clearly in the Mishnah Chav Dal on Amud Aleph, and the Gemara interprets that that's what's going on in the Mishnah Chav Gimel Amud Aleph as well. Gemara has a whole discussion about a situation where you're having a din Torah and the people on the Kabbal Pasala ate him, ate Echad. Echad is not good in the Hatzim Amen. A people on the Kabbal Pasala Dayanim, Shlosha Roy Bakr. The Roy Bakr are farmers. They're the first ones to admit they don't know how to learn. They don't have our question, the Surya. They know that they don't know how to learn, so they're not kosher to serve as Dayanim. Abba V'Avicho are Pasala both for Edis and for Dayanis. So the Gemara is discussing a situation where they're having a din Torah, and one party or the other says it's okay. I'll accept the pasul edim. I'll accept the pasul dayanim. Or dur le bechayi roshecha. The Gemara has a case that he has to swear either shvua deraisa or shvua derabbanan. There's a perik in Masechet Shvuos that starts off. It starts with the words Kol Nishboim Shabbatar Nishboim Vlam Shalmim Ve'en Nishboim Vlam Min HaTorah. There are three Shavuos Deraisa. The Shavuos might have been Mikzas and Shavuos Eid Echad and Shavuos HaShormim, and all three are Nishboim Niftar. Min HaTorah is not such thing as a Nishboim Vlam, that if he swears he wins. He has them on as the Pater himself. And mid the Rabbanon they have a few cases, the Nigzal and the Sochir. Rashi mentions a few Mishnah Shavuos. If you have a shvur deraisa, you have to swear b'nikitas chefetz. You have to hold on to a sefer Torah, and a shvur derabbanan is a question whether you have to hold a sefer Torah or not. Question Rashi and Tosfos, but you have to swear b'shem Hashem. So the guy says, "I swear by my life. I really nishba b'chayi roshi." I swear by my life. That's not an acceptable shvua minatari. He has to swear, Haved Nishba Bashem, or Hanishba Lashem. The Rambam has two kinds of shvua. The Rambam, beginning of Hilchos Shvuos, says there are two types of shvua, b'shem Hashem. Either he swears to God, so in other words, if he's telling a lie, he's fooling God, or he swears by Hashem. He swears, just like I believe in the existence of God, so that this is true. And if this is not true, what I said in effect is that I don't believe in God. So that's a serious shvua. Here the shvua l'Hashem, a shvua b'Hashem. And here the fellow just says, "Hare nishba b'chayi roshi, I swear by my life." It means he's accepting a curse on himself, that if I'm lying, I should drop that. Okay? So that's not a valid shvua. So you have cases over here where one party or the other, or both of them, are in agreement to proceed with a din Torah, with pasul ha'edim, with pasul ha'dayanim, or with a pasul shvua. So the Tanoim have a whole discussion. Tanoim on Amoraim, Daf Chav Dalet and Aleph is Barichas, and here the Gemara Chav Gimel is alluding to part of that discussion. The Gemara has a whole discussion as to why is it binding? Is it binding? Why should it be binding? So if it's B'macholach, then we understand. We learned the Tosfos Davav and Aleph Mechila and Tzvicha Kinyan. So if I say, I say that you owe me $1,000. I'll accept a psak from your father, from my father. I'll accept the Haggadah Seder, that if they testify that you don't owe me the money, if they paskin that you don't have to pay me the money, then I'm moichel the money. Okay, so mochaloch. So if you go through the whole story, and then the Bezin said, or the Edom said, that he doesn't have to pay, so mechilei nitzvicha kinyan. So that's why there's what to discuss, that the agreement should be binding. You can't change the laws of the Torah. You can't say over here, you can't apply Master Mashkos Bar Torah, Dovish of Imam to Noikai. The Dinim and the Torah never change. Pasala Eidim, Apostle Eidim. There's a Mishnah in Perik Shvuos Eidus, Daf Laman Amar Aleph, another Perik in Shvuos. There's a Parsha of Shvuos Eidus. What is Shvuos Eidus all about? The Chumash has in Parshas Bereshit, in Parshas Vayikra, an institution of a chatas ola v'yored. If you can afford it, you bring a chatas behema. If you can't afford that, you don't have enough money to pay for a chatas behema, then you bring a chatas soif and an oil soif. And if you can't even afford that, if you don't have enough money to pay for that, then you bring a minchas choyte. So what are the three? So there are three specific instances where one brings a chatas ola v'yored. Which are the three cases? So one case is Tumas Migdash Vikadosha, a person was Tomei, and he ate Karbonis Bishoigig, or he entered into the Beis HaMikdash Bishoigig. That's Tumas Migdash or Kadosha. Either he ate Kodshim Bishoigig, with Tumas Haguf, or he entered the Beis HaMikdash Bishoigig. Then you have another one, Ishvos Ha'edus, that that person, there's a dintura going on, and the Baldin comes to me and he says, come to court and testify on my behalf that he owes me the money. If you don't come and testify, I'm not going to win the case. You're the only two Aiden. He comes to the two Aiden. If I'm only Eid Echad, he can't win the case anyway. So he can. If I'm an Eid Echad, he could have made a Chiyav Shvuah. So the Gemara has a whole discussion whether there's a Din of Shvuah's Aiden there. But let's say there's a situation where you have 20 Aiden. So I say, what do you want from me? Get the other 18 Aiden. Get the other Aiden. Let them testify. So then there's no Din of Shvuah's Aiden. Shvuah's Aiden says, if I'm one of the two Aiden who are needed in order for you to bring to win the Din Torah, and you say to the two Aidim, the Baldin tells it to the two Aidim, both they, when he come to court and testify on my behalf, and they say, Shvosh Eidon Yoidim Lachaidus, we swear we don't know, we don't remember anything about the case, and it's not true. They do remember, they just don't want to get involved, they don't want to fight with the other party. So then later on, they admit that they swore falsely in front of Bezin. So Bezin cannot accept their testimony later because Kim Shigat Shuvin Achoyza Magid. They swore in front of Bezin Shvur Shein on the Yodim Lachaidus. So the Haggadah Seidus isn't going to help now. We were the only two Aidim who could help to win the case for him. He doesn't have another two Aidim. So we were mafsed him the moment because we swore falsely in front of Bezin Shvur Shein on the Yodim Lachaidus. So the Torah says in such a situation that we have to bring Achata Solaviyari. Do we have to pay him the money that he lost? Maybe Medina de Garmi. It's our fault that he lost the Dintur. If we would have come and testified, he would have won the Dintur. So that's the question. Is it Grama Benazik and is it Garmi? Okay, it's a discussion. The first half in Perakakoin is the Gemara talks about that. A Kovisha Seidusa, a person doesn't testify because he doesn't testify. Someone else loses money. So is that the Grama Benazik and is that Garmi? Okay, it's a whole discussion. So what's the third case? There are three cases of Chata Solaviyari. So one case is Tumas Migdash V'Kadoshav, the second case is Shvuas Ha'edus, and the third case is Shvuas Bitoy. Nefesh Kishishava, or Nefesh Kishishava Levatibis Osaim Lahora La'etib. Person took a Shvuah, he's not going to eat any cookies. And then somehow he forgot all about it, and he goes and eats cookies, B'Shoigeg. So then the Chum says, Shvuah is Mohammed and Neder. And then there is an avera like eating treifas. Shvuah is either shvuah b'Hashem or shvuah l'Hashem. So if he swore a shvuah and he violated the shvuah, so shvuah l'habo, I will not eat cookies. And then he goes ahead and eats a b'shoigeg. So that's a more serious avera than having violated a neder b'shoigeg. So the Torah requires that he has to get a kapara by bringing the chatas olavir. What did he pay for a chatas pay? He can't afford it. He brings chatas oif and an oil oif, and if he can't even afford that, then he brings a minchas chayte. So the din of Shvuas Ha'edus, the Mishnah, there are three prokim there. The beginning of Shvuas talks about Tumas Shmigdash V'Kadosho, and then it talks about Shvuas Bitoy, then it talks about Shvuas Ha'edus, and Daf Lamed Amanav talks about Shvuas Ha'edus. So the Mishnah starts off, the Perek starts off, Shvuas Ha'edus saying in the Hegesel of Iksherim V'loy B'Psulim. Let's say the only two witnesses who were watching the Halvoah were gangsters. I lent them the money in the jail, and all the other inmates in the jail, they're all gone off and they're all postulators. Or I lent them the money at a chasana, and they're all cousins. They're all siblings, cousins, uncles, aunts, women. They're not kosherated there. So, and he swears falsely in front of Besan Shuashain any day alachoides, and it's not true. He does know, but he's not kosherated anyway. So even if he would have testified in front of the Besan wouldn't have accepted his testimony because he's a karev or because he's a gangster. Because it's an isha, so the Mishnah says Shvuas Ha'edus that this parsha of Shvuas Ha'edus that if you swore falsely, b'shoigeg you bring a chata salavir. It only applies if the people are kosher ladies. If the post ladies, it doesn't apply. So the Rishonim on that Mishnah quote from the Talmud Yerushalmi, and the Bavli it doesn't say it, but it's obvious that din is correct. What if it's a situation like Andav Chav Dalet in Sanhedrin that the Eidim, Apostle Eidim, but he said, Nemar alai Abba, Nemar alai Avicho. They're in the middle of a Din Torah, and he said, if your father will testify, my father, your father will testify that I owe you the money, happy to pay the money. Then the father says, well, Shavosh and any day Elchaidus, I wasn't there. And it's not true. And if he would have testified, he would have won the case for him, because he accepted it upon himself. So Yishalmi says, that doesn't make the father kashalaitis. Still, bottom line, the father is pasalaitis. That's his chaybis mi bachutz. If he says, if your father swears, if your father testifies, I'll pay the money, so that's like he accepted upon himself at his chaybis moment. But strictly speaking, it's still pasalaitis. His father's still pasalaitis. You don't see over here, masna mashkas about Torah, that the father all of a sudden becomes kashalaitis or becomes kashaladayanis. So the question is, if you can't change Hilchas Seidus, and you can't change Hilchas Dayanus, and you can't change Hilchas Shvuah, the guy says, Dur li b'chai rashecha, swear by your life. So that is swearing Shvua b'Hashem, or Shvua l'Hashem. That's swearing on a Sefer Torah, just swear by your life and I'll accept that. That's good enough. So if all of this din is meaningless, the halachas don't change. So why is there even a discussion, any yochel achzabo? Why can't he be chayzabo? The din Torah was a fraud, it was a farce, there was nothing there. So if he owes the money, he should go to another din Torah and see what will happen at the second Torah. Why does anybody say Eina Yochel Achzabo? So yesterday we discussed some of the reasons why. So one reason could be, let's say, B'mocholoch. Okay? So if you're talking about a case of Mocholoch, Mechilei Nechakinyan. So if the guy was Mechol, he was Mechol. He says, if this Bezdin will Paskin that you don't have to pay, so I'll accept their Pesach. Then Bezdin Paskin doesn't have to pay. He's accepting the psak means implicitly he's meichel, the other fellow. I claim that really you owe me the money, but I say if this pasul or bezin will paskin that you don't have to pay the money, so I'll forego. So mechila nitzvich kinyan. That's the tesis on davo. It's a pella. Tesis brought so many rice. Why did they were digging all over shas to bring rice? Mechila nitzvich kinyan. They should have quoted from this gemara. Meichelah betenloch. It's a pella. So that's one case. What if you're talking beetenloch? So we said yesterday there's a machlokes tesis in the Rambam. If I say like this, out of the clear blue sky, I obligate myself to give you $100,000. So tesis says that it's not binding unless he made a kabbalah skinyan, kana miyodo. And it says like that in Shas many, many times, kana miyodo, achmas skin b'shikana miyodo. The Rambam restricts those gemaras. The Rambam and the Ran in Ksubas and Daf Kubbeis. The Rambam learns that this is Pshat and the Gemara in Ksubas Daf Kubbeis Amen Aleph Machlekes Rabbi Yechonon Mishlokish. We pass like Rabbi Yechonon that Chai Valin Nachmane. If I say I hereby accept upon myself to give you $100, so that's binding. Yesh Me'ayin, even though it's not in exchange for anything that you did. You didn't give me any services. You didn't give me any merchandise. Out of the clear blue sky, he said, I obligate myself to give you $100, so it's binding. But the Rambam also agrees, there are so many Gemaras, at least 10 Gemaras, where the Gemara talks about Kodam Yodah. What do you need Kodam Yodah for? If his Chayvus is Chal B'dvarim. The answer is, the Ran explains, even if you hold, the Ran doesn't mention the Rambam. The Ram happens to learn like the Rambam. The Ran and the Rambam hold that if you make such a his Chayvus ala Tanai, then they would agree that you do need a kinyan. So we're going to have to learn the Gemara in the next half to find out what in the world. That's the Rambam definition of asmachta. That's how the Rambam understands asmachta. We'll have to learn the next half on daf chafei to figure out what does it mean asmachta kanya, asmachta lo kanya, what is it all about? So in this situation, the fellow says, if this possible bezin of kerevim or ganovim will paskin that I owe you the money, I will pay the money. So if it's etenloch, if you're talking about etenloch, so what creates the hischaibis moment? Here it's alatanai. So even the Rambam will agree that you need a Kabbalah's kinyan over here. Doesn't say that they made a Kabbalah's kinyan over here. If there's a Kabbalah's kinyan, so why does Reb Meir disagree? Yochel achzabo. So the answer is, the etenloch, what could possibly be the clincher to be mechaivim? So we mentioned the Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Tes on the base, I think. The Gemara has a case where two parents want to be mishadach their children to each other. The children are young, and they can't go to work. They can't support themselves. So the boy's father says to the girl's father, if your daughter marries my son, I'll support them for the first 5 years. I'll give them $50,000 a year. Then the girl's father says, if your son marries my daughter, I'll match it. I'll give $50,000 a year for the first 5 years. So om devikitshu, if the boy and the girl get married soon, immediately afterwards, the Gemara says, "Hein hein hadvarim haniknim ba'mira." Means normally should not be niknim ba'mira. Normally they should not be mechuyif to pay the money. Even according to the Rambam, who says that you can create his chayvus with Dvarim alone, then there's no need for a Kabbalah's Kinyan. But here it's Ala Tanai. You don't say, I'm going to support them for the next 5 years for $50,000 a year. He said, if they get married to each other. So that's if, it's Ala Tanai. If they don't marry each other, I'm not going to support them. If they marry each other, then I'm going to support them $50,000 a year. So Bein L'shita Saram and Bein L'shita Sataisus, you should have required a Kinyan to clinch the Hischaivus, to create the Hischaivus over here. So that's what the Gemara says. If Om de Vikitcho Hein Hena Dharma Niknamir, what kind of din is that? If Nasa Maisa Alpiv, then Alocha says that you have to pay. The Ritva in Bava Metzia on the Gemara of Zulshvot, I mentioned the Tosfos on the bottom line on Chavdal and Mebeis going over to Chavheim and Aleph, quotes a Gemara about Zulshvot. Zulshvot is a city in Bavel. So the story was that they used to sell wine there at a very reasonable rate, at a very low rate. So I'm interested in driving to Zulshvot. I'm going to have a wedding, bar mitzvah, whatever. I need a lot of wine. Pesach is coming. I want to buy wine for that because I want to buy wine. So either I myself will drive to Zulshvot, or I know someone who's going, so I want to ask him to drive to Zulshvot and buy wine for me. So you say, you volunteer, you say, I should give you the money, I should give you $1,000, you'll buy $1,000 worth of wine, which is going to be many more gallons than it would have been if I would have bought the wine over here, because here it's more expensive. Zulshvot is less expensive. So then I say, how do I know I can rely on you? So the guy says, don't worry, if I don't buy you the wine, and if I don't deliver the wine from Zulshvot, I'll pay you the hefsid that you'll suffer. In other words, if he goes to Zulshvot, he gets all this wine for $1,000. If he buys it here, it'll cost $1,200. So he says, so I'll give you the extra $200. So I give him the $1,000 to go to Zulshvot. Then he never goes. He decides he wants to watch a baseball game. He doesn't go. So he was mafsid me b'shev al tasa by not going to Zulshvot. So the Gemara says, since it was nasa maisal piv, I gave him the $1,000 based on his smach. I was relying on him. He's going to take care of it. I could have got myself. I could have given the money to someone else. Other people going to Zulshvot. So Gemara has a whole discussion that the fellow should have to pay. The maskana of the Gemara is that we pass, and that's an asmachta, and asmachta lo kanya. He doesn't have to pay. So we'll have to figure out what is an asmachta, and why is that an example of asmachta lo kanya. But if not for the issue of asmachta, why should it be mechuyev at all? Let's say people are gambling. The people are playing cards and they're gambling, and they say, if I win, everybody, there are five people gambling. So they all say, whoever wins, the other four pay him $1,000. So one of the five people wins the card game. So the other four, there's a discussion anymore. Do they have to pay him the $1,000 each? Asmachta kanya, asmachta lo kanya. Tosfos says, what asmachta? Even if there's no dinner, even if asmachta is kanya, what creates a hischaivus just because the guy says, I'm going to give you $1,000? So Tosfos says, no, it means that they put the $1,000 in the pot. All the money, most menachas al adaf. That's what Tosfos adds on to the Gemara. It never says it in the Gemara. Tosfos says it's obvious that that's the case. They put the money in the plate, and each one of the five picked it up. The Talmid HaChachamim, they're not talking about poshut gamblers. They know how to learn. So they say, if I win, I'm cutting all the money. He says, if I win, I'm cutting all the money. So each one made a kinyan ala tanai. And the Rambam doesn't learn like that. The Rambam learns the creator, his chayvus. If the guy would have said, I hereby obligate myself to give you $1,000, he would have been mechuyev to pay him the money without any need for a maisa kinyan. Because the Gemara never says a word about Moos Menachas al Adav. That's what Tosfos always adds on to the Gemara. Tosfos an Erev and Tosfos over here adds it on. The Rambam learns that's exactly what the Gemara considers asmachta. If he created his chayvus bedvarim ala tanai, that's called asmachta and asmachta lakan. If he would have said, I hereby obligate myself to give you $1,000, period, no strings attached, then his chayvus can be created bedvarim alone. But his chayvus bedvarim ala tanai, that's called asmachta. The Rambam has an ushita. That's called asmachta. The Ramban writes, the Ramban at the end of Bava Basra, but the Gemara has at the very end of Bava Basra, the Gemara has a discussion about Asmachta Kanya, Asmachta Lo Kanya. Ramban quotes the Rambam and he says, I don't know where in the world he got it from, I don't know what in the world he's talking about. So we're going to have to discuss the normal Shita and the Rambam Shita. The Vilna Gaon writes in the Bi'ur Agro in Chosha Mishpat that the Rambam got it from the Sefer Mekka Chamemka, the Rav Haigoin. But it's with a twist, it's not exactly what it says in the Sefer Mekka Chamemka. The Rambam has sources. But it's an irregular shita. So this story again about Zulshvot. Why should he be mechuyev to pay a penny? He wasn't. If I take a hammer and I smash you, I bang into your car, so I'm out of my mazik. Here I was mazik, you b'sheid al tasa, by not going to Zulshvot. I promised you that I'm going to go buy the wine at the lower rate. I'm going to get you all the wine you need for $1,000. Then I didn't take care of it. I was negligent. So he is mazik in b'sheid al tasa. So why is he mechuyev to pay? Mazik b'sheid al tasa is always grumah b'nezik in his potter. So why is he chayv? He's not chayv mitam odom amazik. So that's what the Rishonim say. Nasa ma'isal pi. If I gave you the $1,000, I wouldn't have given it to you if not for the fact that you promised you're going to take care of it. So since I gave you the money and you made such a statement, if I don't take care of it, I'll pay you the hefsid mam. So then you mechuyev mitam his chayv. Nasa ma'isal pi is mechayv. So again, so if you're talking about mocholoch, if you're talking about mochalach, so mechila in itzvicha kinyan, that we understand. Why should anybody hold yochalach sabo? If mechila in itzvicha kinyan, how come you have Rav Meir says yochalach sabo? So Rashi keeps on throwing in the expression, it's a mechila betoyas. The reason why he said, if the bezin declares that you're putter, I'll forgo the debt, I'm convinced that you do owe me the money. But I say, they'll say that you don't have to pay, so I'll forgo the debt. I really didn't mean that. I'm so convinced that I'm right, I thought that everybody's going to say what I said. That's why I claim against you. So that's what Rashi learns. Rav Meir holds Yochal Lach Sabo, it's a Mechila Betois. Mechila is, I know that you owe me $100, but we're so friendly, and I just won the lottery, over $1 billion, so I don't need your little $100 bill. You didn't win the lottery, you're a poor yeshiva bacher. So I say, I'm mechuyev you the debt. So everything is clear, 100% crystal clear. You owe me $100 and I'm mechuyev the money. But over here, at the time that the fellow was mechuyev, he said, I hold that you owe me the money. But if this bezin paskins that you won't owe me the money, so I'll forgo the debt. So true, it's a mechila ala tanai, but the Rashi learns, Rav Meir holds mechila, even though mechila in Tzvicha Kinyan, but you might consider this a mechila betos. That's how Tosfos said that svara, vavam and aleph. Why does the Gemara say pshara Tzvicha Kinyan? So Tosfos said, even if the pshara was that I should be mevater part of the money that you owe me, you really owe me $1,000. And the Bezim made a pshara, you should pay $750, and that's enough. So Tosfos says, by mechila in Tzvicha Kinyan, why do you need a Kinyan? He says, no, this could be that this is considered a mechila betois. He agreed to the bezin giving up shari. He was so convinced that he was right, that the din and the yosha dictates you should pay me the full $1,000. So that's why he said, let's go for a pshara, and whatever they say goes, and he thought they're going to say that you owe me the full $1,000. It didn't really occur to him. Yeah, he says, I'm asking to a pshara. He thought that yosha dictates that you should pay me the full $1,000. He didn't realize that he's going to lose $250. They're going to say, if he pays $750, that's enough. So Tosfos said that maybe you should consider that a mechila betoyas. Even if the pshara was that someone should be meichel, maybe you also need a kinyan over there. So the same over here. Rav Meir says that yochal achsebo, maybe it's considered a mechila betoyas. Okay, that's how Rashi. That's how Rashi has. That's how the Rif has over here. There's one way that this should be binding. You can't say that by saying Namar al Ayaba, all of a sudden the father becomes kosher le dayon. So the father becomes kosher le edus. Or this shvu is unacceptable. Dur le b'chay roshech. There is no such thing. There is no shvua b'chay rosh. Shvua has to be shvua b'Hashem, a shvua l'Hashem, a shvua on a sefer Torah, shvua b'nekitas chayfetz. Puts his hand on a Bible. Kitas chayfetz doesn't only mean he holds the sefer Torah. He can put his hand on the sefer Torah also. In the bezin of the Rif, there used to be mashbia edim. That before the Eidim would testify, they would say, put your hand on a Sefer Torah. There would be Mashbim and Kitas Chavis. Put your hand on a Sefer Torah and swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth. So in Halacha, that's not really required. And Tosfos, the beginning of the second parak in Kiddushin, shows from the Gemara that if you have an Eid who's only kosher la'edus if he swears that he's telling the truth, so such an Eidus is possible. Eidus has to be Nem without any Shvua. Shvua is only by Balei Dinim. But that was the meaning. The Shulchan Aruch quotes that the Rif introduced such a meaning that you mashbia the Eidim. So the common practice today is that they always have witnesses in the secular courts. They have the witnesses where they put their hand on a Bible. That's a Shvua b'Nikitas Chayfetz. You don't have to hold the kitas have done nasalim. You hold the chayfet, so you put your hand on the sefer Torah. It's also called shvubin and kitas chayfet. So again, so how should it be binding over here? He doesn't change the hilchah shvur. It doesn't change the hilchah seder. It doesn't change the hilchah dayanim. So one way is because mechila and tzvicha kinyan. Another way is if it's etin loch, so then it's not mechila. So it's nasa maisal pib like the gemara kedushin hein hein hadvarim like the mamira and the case by the zulshvo. If it's nasa maisal pib, so then you have to determine how much of a maisa is needed. Nasa maisal pib. Let's say he says if this beznam will paskin that I owe you the money, I'll pay you the money. A bezin is in the middle of the dentura. They're sitting for an hour already. Then I hear the way they're discussing, so I say, I back out from the agreement. I'm not going to pay you the money, even if the bezin says. So is that sufficient? Is that called nasa maisal piv? Because they spent an hour on the dentura, they say, no, it's only nasa maisal piv if nigmar hadin apiv. Before gmar din, maybe it's not called nasa maisal piv. Let's say, if witnesses will testify, posala eidim will testify. So when is it nasa maisal piv? When the witnesses come to court and they testify, right? So that's nasa maisal piv. There's no two shurim over there. After they testify, that's nasa maisal piv. There's the shach in Chayshim Ishba points out on this simon when this is discussed. He said there's a third instance. One is mochaloch, one is etin loch, nasa maisal piv, and then you have to determine how much of a maisa do you need. The bezin sat for an hour or half an hour, or the bezin completed a nigmar din. How much of an asa maisal piv do you need? And then the shach has, there's a third case. Let's say there's an honest bezin, there's a kosher bezin, and bezin, they went to the ksais achoshin, and the bezin of ksais achoshin learns the ksais, and based on the ksais, they gave a psak. If they would have gone to the nesivus looks at the psak, he says, if you would have come to my bezin, we would have paskin differently. But he can't really prove that the ksais is wrong. He thinks he has rights against the Ksais. The Ksais thinks he has rights against the Nesivas. So it's an ongoing debate. You have a lot of times machlekes, and so you cannot reverse a psak just because there's another bezin in the world who thinks otherwise. The only time you can reverse a psak we had in the first parak is if the psak is established to be betoyes. Atoy bedvar mish, toy b'shikal adas. The Gemara says you cannot reverse the psak. Shikal Adas is a machlekes satanoim or a machlekes amoraim. V'loyit mehilchus loy kemar v'loy kemar. V'sugin di alma kechad minay. The generally accepted psak is like one shita. So if the bezin paskins against that shita, that's a toys. But that's a toys. That's considered a toys. B'shikal Adas. You have to know what's the tradition in psak. That's considered a toys. But a toys b'shikal Adas. That's not called toys b'dvar mishnah. So the bezin has no right to say we made a mistake. That's going to be a whole discussion later in the fourth parak. When does Bezin have the right to back out and when not? That's the famous complicated sugya of Torah B'Shikal Adas and Torah B'Dvar Mishnah. When can you back out? But the klal is, if the Bezin didn't make any mistake, then you can't reverse the Psaka Bezin just because you go to one who lost the Dintara the first time, will go to another Bezin, he'll go to the Nesivis Bezin, and the Nesivis will say, if you would have come to me, I would have paskin otherwise. Fine. But we didn't go to you, we went to the Ksois. The Ksois gave a good psak. You can't establish that. You can't say the Ksois is a Torah B'dvar Mishnah, but the psak remains. So let's say you have a Din Torah. Middle of the Din Torah, one of the Baladinim says, I want to bring this, the aid. So the Bezin says, well, wait a minute. All you have is Eid Echot. Eid Echot is only going to help for Shvur. It's not going to help to win the case. So Baladin, against whom the aid is going to testify, says, that's okay. Let him bring the Eid Echot. If the Eid Echot says that I'm chayiv, I'll pay the money. Or let's say the aid is a relative. So the Bezin says, what do you mean? He's going to bring his father, he's going to testify. Of course the father's going to say that his son is entitled to the money. And the other Baldin says, no, that's okay. If his father says that I owe him the money, I'm going to pay the money. So the Bezin is mekabel aidus. The aidus is not valid. It's pasul aidus. And then Bezin paskins. Did Bezin do anything wrong over there? No. The Baldin said, proceed. It's like he made a haidu'as Baldin. The Baldin said, if his father will testify that I owe him the money, then you paskin accordingly. Consider it as if I made a haidu'as Baldin that the father is telling the truth. So based on that, the Bezin gives a psak. After the psak is issued, that the guy's to pay $100,000, he screams, hey, But the psak was based on a pasal aid. So does he have a right to reverse the psak and he doesn't have to pay? No, the Bezdin didn't make any mistake. He egged him on. The Baldin told him, proceed. He made a hadas Baldin and said, go proceed with the Din Torah. If his father says that I owe him $100,000, so I'll pay the money. So they went, and it's a kosher at Bezdin. It's not that it's a pasal at Bezdin. If you have neman alai, nemanim alai shlosha rai bakar, nemar alai abba, nemar alai avi, Rashi says, lios dayon, Rashi achav dalan emanala, then you have a pasal at Bezdin. So then you have to figure out, why did the Chachamim say, eini ochel achzabo? So if it's mochel loch, fine, mechila in itzvich hakinyan. If it's etten loch, you have to say, nasa mais alpiv, and you have to determine, at what point is it considered nasa mais alpiv? Nasa mais alpiv, when they began the Masa Matan, or only after the Gemar Din? But if it's a kosher abezin, the Shach adds this on, if it's kosher abezin, and in the middle of the Din Torah, one of the Dinim said, proceed. If his father testifies that he owed the money, I'll pay. Or he says, he doesn't have to swear a shvua b'nikitas chayfetz, a shvua b'Hashem, shvua l'Hashem. If he swears chayei roshi, dur l'bichayei roshecha. If he swears by his life, also. So the guy swears, I swear by my life. And then Bezin says, okay, he swore, therefore he's potter, therefore you're chayef to pay him the money. Then the guy says, wait a minute, I never accepted upon myself the other. What do you mean? Bezin gave an honest-to-goodness psak based on what the Baldin said. The Baldin said, listen to, if he swears like this, Dulei b'chai roshecho is ginuk. That's good enough. So it's like implicitly was, he said, he made a hoidos Baldin. Bezin should proceed to Paskin. And it's a kosher at Bezin. So if you have a kosher at Bezin, made a psak, and there was no mistake. There was no mistake over here. It's not that they thought he was a kosher aid. They knew he was posa aid, and the other Baldin said, proceed. So that's implicitly a hoidos Baldin. So the Shach says, in such a case, you can't reverse the psak of the Bezin. That's why we accept, when we learn the Tesis on Davav and Aleph, we explain why is Pshor Tzvicha Kinyan. Pshor Tzvicha Kinyan, Tesis says, is not because he has to create his chayvus to pay the money. No. Pshor is a psak of a Bezin. Psak of Bezin is binding. There are two types of a psak of Bezin. There's a psak of Din, and then there's a psak of Lifnei Meshuras HaDin. So I can't force Lifnim Meshuras HaDin, I can't force Yosha on the Baal HaDinim. If they want Din, we have to give them Din. But we try to convince them, we try to encourage them that they should go for Pshara. And if they both agreed, so then the Bezdin was authorized to issue a Psak of Lifnim Meshuras HaDin. So the Psak is binding because it's a Psak. The Psak was not Betoyas. You don't need the Kabbalah's Kinyan to make the Chiyuv binding. Chiv is binding because the Bezin Paskin. The Bezin gave a psak, and it was a kosher at Bezin. You need the Kabbalah's Kinyan, Tosfos said, that it shouldn't be construed as a mechila betoyos, or a haskama betoyos, because he doesn't know in advance what's going to be what the nature of the pshara is going to be. So that's what the Shach adds on. So that's, there's really, if you saw the Tosfos on, and Avchof Vedalon Amibes, the second Tosfos from the top, Shalach Lev. So Tosfos quotes a Gemara in Yesh Nechlin. There's a dispute. I have an Eved. So you scream, hey, Abdi Ganafta. You stole my Eved Knaini. Ashori Ganafta. That's my behemoth. And I say, Ata Mecharta Li, Ata Nesata Li, V'matoincha. Yeah, I say, you sold it to me. Mecharta Li, Nesata Li, V'matoincha. So then I say, if you'll swear that it's yours, I'll give it back to you. If you swear, then I'll give it back. So then if the fellow swears, why do I have to give it back? So the Rabbein Tam says, that's Nasa Maisal Piv. The Rabbein Tam says, the way we have it in Bava Basra, it says, he offers the other one. If you insist that it's yours, I'll make a deal. If you swear that it's yours, I'll give it to you. So the way we have it, the Gemara, it says, Nishba b'ein yochel achzabo. The din is, once he says that, he's stuck, and he can't back out. And the other fellow has a right to swear, and I'll have to give him back the eved or the behemoth. So Rabbein Tam thinks, why? But it's Kodim Gemara din. So why is it Nishba? Rabbein Tam changes the gear, so it should say, V'nishba. If I said, you claim that the eved that I have and the behemoth that I have it used to belong to you. I admit it. It used to belong. I say, Ata Mechartali, Ata Nesatali B'Matana. I claim that I bought it from you, or I claim that you gave it to me B'Matana. And you say, you say it's not true. So I would win the Dintur. Chazokam Asher Tachzi Adam Harev Shaloi. I would win the Dintur. But I say, if you'll swear that it still belongs to you, Itzoin Chashadei Abitul, then I'll give it to you. So if you're Nishba, that's called Nasa Ma'is Alpiv. So that clinches the Chiv. Nasa Ma'is Alpiv creates a Hischaivus, because it shows that there's a full Gemira's Das. Okay. Like Om Devi Kitchu, Hein Hein Advar Ma Nikdim Babmir. But the Rabbein Tam says, to have the Girsa Nishba Ve'en Yochel Asba, without the Vav, that it says, once I make the offer, Itzoin Chashadei Abitul, if you'll swear, I'll give you back the Eved, I'll believe you, I'll give you back the Eved, I'll give you back the Behem, even though Mi'ikra Din, I should really win. So that doesn't make any sense, that the Girsa should be, that Nishba Be'eni Yochel Asaba, the Girsa should say, Ritzen Cheshve Betul V'Nishba, and he swore already. So then, once he swore, that's Nasa Ma'isal Piv, say Eni Yochel Asaba. But before he swears, is Yochel Asaba. So other Rishonim hold that the Girsa is correct the way it says. Why? So the Shach explains this in Chosha Mishpat. We're talking about a situation where it's a kosher bezin. There's a bezin of three dayonim, a bezin mumcha l'rabim, a regular kosher bezin. There's nothing fluky about the bezin. The only thing is about the evidence. So strictly speaking, I'm holding on to the evid. So cheskas habatim mishal v'shan. If I hold on to an evid for 3 years and people will testify I was using the evid for 3 years, so I can keep it. If I'm holding on to a behemah, you don't need the sholosh shonim. I'm holding on to a behemah, then the halacha says, chazok ha-masha tachas yodim ha-reim shaloi. I claim the behemah is mine. So I would win the dintara hands down. I can prove that I was using the evid for the last 3 years. I can prove that I'm using the behemah for the last week. So I'm going to win the dintara. So then I say, if he'll swear, I'll let him win. And the bezin is just sitting there. So that's... When you make a gmar din, does the din require that the judge has to bang the gavel on the table? If he doesn't bang the gavel, it's also good. And what if it's, and the judge has to say what the psak is? Let's say he bangs the gavel on the table, he doesn't say, he says, that's it! It goes like this. And everybody knows what that's it. So that's also a psak. And what if he neither bangs the gavel on the table, nor does he say that's it? The bezdin of shloshe ksherim, they have a kosher bezdin sitting there. And I have the behemah. And you say the behemah used to belong to you. I say 100% the behemah used to belong to you. Ata mechartali, ata nesatali, v'maton. So the bezdin's about the baskin. Chazok ha-mash tafdan harei shaloi. I win the behemah. I keep the behemah. Then I volunteer and I say, Ritzain chi shaveh v'tul. If you'll swear that it's yours, I'll give it back to you. So the bezdin doesn't bang the gavel. They didn't say that's it. He agrees if the other guy swears. So it's bezin is maskin. If he swears, then he keeps the behemah. So the other Rishonim disagree with the Rabbeinu Tam. They say that's also. It's an implicit psak. If he swears, then he keeps it. That's the psak. The psak was not an error. Bezin didn't make any error. If bezin made a mistake, a toy b'dvar mishnah, then you're choizik. Then you're back up. Bezin didn't make an error. The one who's holding on to the behemah said, Ritzon chisha be'evetul. If you really insist that you're telling the truth, if you swear, then I'll give you back the behemah. So bezin is maskin with him. He said it. So the Rabbeinu Tam holds that's not yet called a psak. A psak that's totally v'yoymen ala tanai. If he swears, he wins. If he doesn't swear, he doesn't win. Rabbeinu Tam holds that's not called a psak. So the only way to say that the fellow is chayiv to pay is if the nishma, if he swore already. Then it's Nasa Maisal Pip. So Nasa Maisal Pip is like Om Devi Kitchu, Ein Hanadvar Manik the Mamir. The other Rishonim hold the Girsa is good the way it says. A Psak Alatanai is also a Psak. Here the Bezin made a Psak implicitly. They're paskinim. The Psak is if the Moicher will swear that he never sold it to the Lokeach, so then the Moicher wins. So now the Lokeach can't back out. You can't back out after there was a legitimate Psak of the Bezin. The shtika of the bezin is implicitly a psak. If he swears, he wins the dintur. Rabbeinu Tam holds he can't consider that a psak. A psak has to be beheklet. Reuven is chayiv. Shimon is chayiv. You're going to say, if Reuven swears, then Shimon has to pay him the money. If Reuven doesn't swear, Shimon doesn't have to pay him the money. That's not called a psak. The psak is, Reuven has to pay the money. And the other Rishonim hold no. A psak alata is also a psak.
I thought we don't say animals have chazaka.
I apologize, I still can't hear anything.
Hagodros ain't laim chazaka.
I can't hear.
Say Godros ain't laim chazaka. Say Godros ain't laim chazaka.
Oh, okay. Okay, you're right. Okay, must be a different case. A parakeet, I don't know. some other case. I forgot. The case is not meduyik. The case that I gave is not meduyik. Okay. The case is not correct. In other words, the aloch that I said is not correct. So some other kind of a case. Okay. Yep. So that's what we just added on. The Shach. The Shach has a situation where you don't need Nasa Maisa Piv, and you don't need Mechila and Tzvicha Kinyan. Sometimes the agreement that one of the parties agreed to is binding because the Bezin gave up Sak, and the Bezin Sak was not an error. It wasn't a Toibet by Mishnah, it wasn't a Toibet Shikaladas. The other party agreed. Why can he agree? It's like an implicit Haidos Baldin. If he swears, then he's telling the truth. Okay, that's what the Pizchei Tshuva explains there. When he says, Ritzen Cheshaveh Batul, so it's an implicit Haidos Baldin. And then the Shaila is, what, is that called a Psak? A Psak ala Tanai, is that called a Psak? So the Rabbein and Tamol said, a Psak ala Tanai is not called a Psak. So you have to wait till Vinishba, after Vinishba, then it's Nasa Maisal Piv. So that's Mechayiv him to pay. That's Mechayiv the other person to pay. And if it's Kodim Shenishba, that's not called the Psak. And the other Rishonim disagree that the Psak Alata is also called the Psak. Okay, so yesterday this was a review of yesterday. And then yesterday we got involved. There is a Din of Hanager Be'eduso, is Posolatus. Here there's a little bit on Chav Gimel on the base. Big discussions of Nageya are in Maseches Bava Basra and Cheskes Habatim. We have a lot of cases there. So there, Yishemishpat is a fundamental machlokes between the Levushi of Shushan and the Shach. It could be it's a machlokes in Rishonim also. What's the nature of the psul of Nageya that a Nageya is postulated? So some say Nageya is considered there's a Hashash Meshaker. And others say there's no such thing as chasash meshaka. That's the Mishnah later. The Rabbi Yehuda holds oy vasoyne as pasal leedis and omruloi. The Chachamim disagreed with Rabbi Yehuda. The neshu di Yisrael alkach that you don't choshed. You're not choshed people that they're going to give eidin sheker because the oy vasoyne. So some held that if it's soyne gomer oy gomer, even the Chachamim agree that there is such a thing as a chashash meshaka. And others say, no, even Oyev Gomer, Sayne Gomer is also not a problem. That's why the Ktzeis came up with the Chiddush that you shouldn't, at your wedding, you shouldn't have your very best friend serve as the Eidi Kiddushin, because there was such an opinion that Sayne Gomer is Pasul Eidus, and Oyev Gomer should also be Pasul Eidus. Okay? So then you're saying that even the Chachamim agree with Rabbi Yehuda that sometimes there is a chashash meshaka. Okay? But other Rishonim hold there's never any chashash meshaka. And if you want to pass on the Geya, it must be that his posalate is not because of a Chashash Meshaka, but rather because we consider him a Baldover. Yeah. So this issue seems to be, it comes up in this Gemara, on Chavdal and Amibes. Comes up in the Gemara. So the Gemara has the Gemara says, Zed Paisel Eidab Shal Zed, Zed Paisel Eidab Shal Zed. Rav Meir says that I can passel your Edom. So the Gemara says, how can I passel your Edom? In the middle of a dinter, you bring Edom, and I say, your Edom are Avodim, or your Edom are Gazlonim. So you have to have two witnesses, me and another person, testify that your two Edom are Psuliatus. The pasuk, how do you know you need two Edom? Do yakam be'ani echad b'ish l'chol lot and l'chol chatas v'chol cheta sheyechtov. So to establish that a person is a balaveri, you have to have two kosher aid. The yokem irechadish l'cholav and l'chol chatas b'chol cheta sheyechta means either to punish him with malchus amiso, or to punish him with paying a knas. Knas is also an oinish, or to pasel him leidus. To pasel leidus, you need two kosher aid. The Gemara is later in the parak. In order to pasel leidus, you have to have two kosher aid. So if one of the aidim is the Reuben and Shimon have it in Torah, So Reuven going to say that the two Edom that Shimon brought are psuli Eda. He, the Baldin, and another Eid Echod will testify that the two Edom that Shimon brought are psuli Edas. Yeah, but Reuven is on the Ge'e Be'edusa. How can you accept his testimony? So one version was Rabbi Lozer, who is the Talmud of Rabbi Yechon. Rabbi Lozer suggested a pshat that the case is Reuven doesn't say Shimon is a Gazlan. Reuven says Shimon's mother and his mother's mother, they're all shvachos. So Mamela Shimon is an Ebekneini. So he's not saying a word about the aid. He's not saying about Shimon. He's saying about Shimon's mother. He's saying about Shimon's grandmother. That the mother's mother's mother, all the way back, they were all Avodim Ktainim, Shivcha Ktainis, and Mamela, the children of Psuliyot. So the Gemara, at one point, Rav Lozer suggested that that's the machlokes between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Chachamim say, what are you talking about? Zochsesof Nageh Beidusahu. He's saying in the middle of a Din Torah that the Edom that Shimon has are Pasul Edus because of Psul Pegam Mishpocha, that they're Avodim. Rav Meir says, no, that's not called a Nageh Beidusahu, because he's saying on the whole family, he's not saying on the Eid. That pshat was rejected. Rabbi Yechanan was the Rebbe of Rabbi Lozer. Rabbi Yechanan didn't say that pshat. So Rabbi Yechanan said pshat is that you have a din Torah between Reuven and Shimon, and Reuven says, I can bring four Edom who will testify that you owe me the money. And Shimon says, okay, let's see the Bezen says, let's see some Edom. So he brings two Edom. So Reuven and another person testify, the two Edom that he brought up, Psule Edom. They're gangsters. They got over him, they're Michal Shabbos, they're whatever, they eat trefus, they're posulators. Yeah, but that's Negev Be'edusa right now, in the middle of it, in Torah. So the Gemara says, that's how Rashi says, is it Negev Be'edusa or not? After all, Reuven said, I can bring four Edom. So the first two Edom that he brought were posul, but that's irrelevant. It doesn't matter the first two Edom are posul. He claims to have another two Edom. So since the Halacha requires, if the Halacha would say he doesn't have to produce all four, the Kanaka says I have four witnesses. All he has to produce is two Edom. So then if I'll pass the first two, that's called Negev Be'edusa. But if the Halacha requires, he has to produce the additional two Edom. So it's not Negev Be'edusa if I'll pass up the first two Edom, because he claimed he has another two Edom. That's how Rashi learns the Pshat over here. So the Gemara said there's a Machlokes Hatanoim over here between Rav Meir and the Chachamim in the Mishnah. Machlokes Rav Meir and the Chachamim in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was the end of the period of the Tanoim. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was after Rabbi Meir. The Gemara presents it as if Shitas Rebbe existed, and Rabbi Meir holds like Rebbe, and the Chachamim disagree. Rebbe came after Rabbi Meir, but the ideas were there in the Luften. Everybody was discussing this thing. So the Gemara quoted a Machlokes, Rebbe and Rabbi Shimon Megamliel. Rabbi Shimon Megamliel was the father of Rebbe. There's a father and a son team. Every so often, Rebbe disagrees with his father. It says in Shulchan Aruch, even though part of Kibbur Aviyim is that you're not Cholek al Dvarav, you don't disagree with the father, you don't disagree if it's irrelevant, if it's insignificant. The father tells me it's going to be a big blizzard today. And I say, you're making a mistake, it's hardly giving me anything. So don't disagree with your father, it's not Negeya. But whenever it's Negeya Halacha, then Rebbe has to disagree with his father. He says, with all due respect, you're wrong, the din is not true. Or if the father says everyone should vote for X, and the son thinks that that'll be a disaster, so if X is not going to win anyway, so then it's irrelevant. So don't argue with your father. But if no one's going to listen to your father anyway, so don't argue with your father. But if people may listen to your father because of his prominence, people may elect the wrong person to a position, and you're convinced that that's a disaster, then you have to go public and you have to tell people not to vote for Mr. X, to vote for Y, to vote for someone else. So in the Shulchan Aruch, they say, even though Eile Cholek Aloviv is a violation of Kibbur Aviyim, but Halacha L'maaseh, you do, and they quote, they're right. The Rebbe often disagrees with Rebbe Shimon Gamliel. So what was the machlokes that they had? You have a Cheskes Habatim. A fellow was away in Eretz Yisrael for the last 5 years. He comes back, he finds out that someone was living in his apartment for the last 3 years, the last 5 years. He has... So the guy claims a chazaka sheishim ataina. The shidavi, the neighbors, the Gemara says in the beginning of Cheskes Habatim, who usually testifies on Cheskes Habatim? The neighbors testified. Yeah, strangers don't know. So the neighbors testified. The guy was living here the last 5 years. What does he claim? The fellow who is living there for 5 years. If he just says, Shalo Amali Amma Dova Meyoilam, no one ever told me that I'm not allowed to stay here. That's called Chazaka She'eni Mataylo. So he doesn't win. We don't have such a law of squatter's rights. If the guy was living there for 3 years, he has a right to keep it. That's against Allah, he's a ganav. But if he tainis, you sold the field to me, and I keep my shtaris and my file, but I have so much business I do. I buy it, I sell. I don't keep the shtaris forever and ever. So the first 3 years I kept the shtar, and after 3 years I'm not mechuyev to hold on to the shtar. So they made a takana with the rabbanon. If you can prove that you lived on the karka in cheskes avatim shalosh shanim, if the neighbors will testify that you were living in the house or using the farm for 3 years in a row, gimel shanim ritzufim, it didn't look like you were a ganav. You were using it in public. Everybody saw that you were using the house or using the field. So then that can substitute. Imen ha-Torah, it doesn't mean a thing. With the rabbanon, you'll win the din Torah and we'll consider it that house is yours. You have a chazaka sheishim atayim. So that's a machlokes Rabbi Rav Shimon Gamliel. What if the fellow, the machzik in the karka, says, I've been living here for the last 5 years and I have Edom who will testify, yeshli edi chazaka, and I even have the shtar. I bought it from you 5 years ago and I still have the shtar on file. So the Bezin says, Gival, show the shtar. Cheskes habatim is a takonim with the rabbanon, the mokum she'ein shtar. If he can't produce the shtar, guy has the shtar, so that's the end of the whole story. So the guy's looking, he can't find the shtar. So what's it then in such a case? So that sounds like it's a machlekes Rebbe, Reb Shimon Gamliel. So Rebbe says, need the shtar. We insist he has to produce the shtar. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, yeah, need the machazok. He doesn't have to wait, he doesn't even have to try to waste his time to look for the shtar. The takana de rabbana cheskabat m'shalosh shanim was instituted even in a situation where the fellow claims I still have the shtar, but easier would be that I'll just bring the neighbors who'll say I was living here for the last 5 years. So Reb Shimon Gamliel says that takana de rabbana applies even in such a case, and Rebbe says no. Rebbe says since the whole takana is chachamim of cheskas abat m'shalosh shanim is only instituted in a situation where the fellow claims that he lost the shtar, here the fellow claims that he still has the shtar, so tzorch levar tainosis. The whole root of the case, the whole reason why Chesed Batim works, because the fellow says, I bought it and I had a shtar and I lost it, so, and he says now that he didn't lose the shtar, he says he still has the shtar. So there never was a takonis sholoshan, Chesed Batim sholoshan. So that's what the Gemara says. If you hold like Rav Shimon Gamliel, that even in the case of Cheskes Habatim, where the fellow claims that he has a shtar and he has Cheskes Habatim, Reb Shimon Gamliel says, need machazok, he doesn't have to bring the shtar. He doesn't even have to waste his time l'chatchila to go look for the shtar. It's easier to bring the Edim, the neighbors, and say he was living there for the last 3 years. Right? So if you hold like Reb Shimon Gamliel, then need b'chazok, you don't have to bother, you don't have to waste time to find the shtar. So then there's nothing to dispute over here. If a fellow claims I can bring 4 witnesses, you don't even ask him. Bezin just says, we'll be happy. Bring 2 witnesses. Don't waste our time. Just bring 2 witnesses, and that's good enough as far as we're concerned. If the 2 witnesses won't have enough information, then we'll be matriarch you to bring another 2. But if the first 2 witnesses you bring will give us all the information that we need, so that's good enough. We don't even ask him to produce all the 4. The whole machlokes Reb Meir and the Chacham over here is, that's what Reb Yechanan says. The fellow, the Baldin, claims I can produce 4 witnesses. So Reb Yechanan says, that's the Machlekes, Reb Meir and the Chacham. On the assumption that the din is like Rebbe, it's Orchara Tainosoi. He says, Yeshli Shtar, Yeshli Cheskes Habatim. So the din is, Nidon Bishtar. He claims I can produce a Shtar. The business produced the shtar. So that's the machlekes, Reb Meir and the Chacham. So Reb Meir thinks, so that's going to be 2 girsas here in Rashi. So some Tanoim say, just like over there, Rebbe says, if you claim that you have shtar and cheskes habatim, you have to produce both. So to over here, you have to produce both. You have to produce both. So he says over here, he has 4 eidos. You have to bring all the 4 eidos. And the other sheet is no. Rebbe only said it over there because Cheskes Habatim is a takana de rabbanon to take the place of the fact that the fellow says that he lost the shtar, but he claims that he has a shtar. So then, of course, Sarch Lavi is a shtar. Only in that case. But if you have 4 eidim, These two Edim have nothing to do with the other two Edim. The two Edim can stand on their own 2 feet. So there's no reason why we should insist on bringing all the four Edim. Fine. So Rabbi Yechanan claims that that is the machlokes between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim in the Mishnah. With a tzorch levarer tainos and tzorch levarer tainos. The fellow claims I can produce, there's a determining Reuben and Shimon. And one of them says I can produce four Edim who say that I'm telling the truth, that my tainos are correct. And then the other Baldin, with another aid, want to pass on the first two Edim come to Bez, and they want to pass on them. So is that called Negebe Duso Anan? So first Rashi says like this. First Rashi says, if the din is Tzorch Levar Tainosai, that he has to produce the other two Edim anyway, so it's not Negebe Duso. I'll pass up the first two Edim, he says he has another two Edim. So I'm not draying my way out of the case by passing the first two Edim, because the fellow claims he has another two Edim, he'll have to bring the other two. But if did it Zayn Tzorch Levar Tainosai, he doesn't have to produce four Edim, then I'm considered a Negebe Duso. So this is how Rashi originally learned that Tzorch Levara Tainosai means if I claim that I have four witnesses and I only bring two and I don't produce all four, I lose the case. If I bring four witnesses and it turns out two of them are apostle, two of them are kosher, that's okay. I never said all four are kosher. But if I said I can bring four witnesses and I only produce two and I can't come up with the other two, then I lose the case. That's how Rashi says. Rashi backs out from that. Rashi thinks that it's not correct. V'loi nehira. Rashi writes on the third wide line, V'loi nehira. So one of the tainus is, if tzorch levar tainosai, if the din requires that in this case you need four edim, all the four have to be kosher edim. How can you say, as long as he produces four edim, it's good, even if two of the four edim are apostle? No. Tzorch levar tainosai means, you say you have four edim, have to be all kosher edim. So because of that, so Rashi learns the pshat the reverse. If you have tzorch levar tainosa, all four have to be kosher. So then the baldin is going to say the first to wait him apostle is negebe duso, because if all four will not be kosher, he's not going to win the dintar. So by his pasling too, he's going to win the dintar. He's going to cause the other guy to lose. That's negebe duso. But if we say ain't tzorch levar tainosa, so then he can pasal up too. And the Rabbi Natam disagrees with the both versions of Rashi. According to the first version of Rashi, tzorch levar tainosa means he said I can produce four Edim. If he only comes up with two, he doesn't produce the other two, he loses the dinter. But if he produces all four, two of them apostle, two of them are kosher, two of them apostle Edim, that's okay. According to the second pshat of Rashi, no. Tzorch levar tainosa means he says he has four Edim, has to produce four kosher Edim. That's what we said over yesterday from Rav Soloveitchik, that the Rabban HaChumash says on the pasuk, al pi shnai Edim, al pi shlosha Edim, the Ramban says that's the pshat pshuta shal mikra. If the Baldin claims I have in a case of Didi Mominus, that pasuk appears twice in Chumash in the same sedra. It says al pishnei beidim al pishloisha edim yumas hameis lo yumas al piyedich. Then it says al pishnei edim al pishloisha edim yokum dovin. The Gemara says yokum dovin goes on Momin. So in the case of Momin, case of Dinim Nefashim, it says not shal. Case of Momin, if you have Reuben and Shimon, the two Baladinim, and one of Baladinim says, I can produce three Edim, then the Bezim will say, I'll be Shlosha Edim. The Bezim will require him, he should bring the three Edim. So it sounds from the way the Ramban learns the Chumash, sounds like it's a din in Hilchas Edis. It's a real din. If the Baldover claims he can produce three Edim, then Halacha requires three Kosher Edim, like the second Pshat Rashi, three Kosher Edim. Yeah. So the Rabbein Tam quotes a Gemara in the end of Baba Basra, and get poshut, where the Gemara says, even according to Rebbe, that Habod lead the Mishtar Chazok, and the Rebbe says, need Mishtar, we wouldn't allow him to win the case based on Chazok, we would insist on Mishtar, because the whole Takona of Cheskes Abatim was a Takona de Rabbanan in the situation where the fellow claims that he lost the Shtar. But he says he still has the Shtar. So they never made a Takona de Rabbanan in such a case. Go back to the Din Deraisa, let him produce the Shtar. Why should we make a Takona de Rabbanan? See, even in the case of Rebbe, the original case of Tzorch Levara, so the Gemara said the Feirish, Tzorch Levara is only Lachatchila. If he can't produce the Shtar, Bezdin asks him Lachatchila, produce the Shtar. So if he can't produce it, even Rebbe agrees. He'll win the Dintar with the Chazok. Both Pshatim and Rashi are contradicted by that Gemara. That's the Rabbein and Tam's time. The first pshat in the Rashi was he has to produce all four eidim, but you're not required that all four should be kosher. Second pshat in the Rashi, tzarech levar dvar, means he has to produce all four, and all four have to be kosher. So Rabbeinu Tam says the both pshat in the Rashi are not correct. The Gemara said beferish, tzarech levar tainosa means lachatchil tzarech levar. But if he can't produce the shtar, it's still good. He'll still win the dintar. If he can't produce all four, he'll still win the dintar based on the two. So it's against both of the pshatim and Rashi. Okay. So the way the simple reading of the Gemara says, is the baldin considered neged beiduso? You're Reuven and Shimon, the two baldin. And Reuven brings two edim. And Shimon and another eid echad say that the two edim that Reuven brought are both Mechal Shabbos. They're not religious, they eat treifus. They do averis that pass on them later. So is there an issue of neged beiduso? So the simple reading of the Gemara, that's the question, is it according to the sheet that Tzorach Levar Tainos, ain't Tzorach Tainos, so the simple reading of the Gemara is, if the fellow's not going to lose the dintura because I'm passing his Edom, because he's going to bring another two Edom, then I'm not called a Negev Be'edusi. But if he's going to lose the dintura, then I'm a Negev Be'edusi. So this depends on the different thing, whether that he's not going to lose if the Edom are puzzled, but he's going to lose if he doesn't produce all four. So this you have to determine what is it called, Negev Beidus or what not. So this was Rav Yechanan's suggestion. We're talking about the Machlekes of the Mishnah, Zed Posel Eid of Shalzeh, Zed Posel Dainah Shalzeh, Zed Posel Dainah Shalzeh. How did Rav Yechanan learn Pshat? Barkosha Besur Yoshanu. We're talking that the Rav HaTzibur accepts these Posel of Dayanim. They live in a faraway place where there's no Talmid HaChacham. And every civilization has to have a court system. So they accepted upon themselves, the Rebbe Tzibur accepted these Dayanim. The Kabbalah of the Rebbe Tzibur is binding on the Yechidim also, the whole Tzibur. But even if a Yochid was Mekabbalah Apostle of Dayan, he can also back up. So that's the Machlokes Reb Meir Nachachamim in the next Mishnah. At what point can you back out? Before Gemar Din, after Gemar Din, you can even back out after Gemar Din. Sure. So the Machlokes here in the first Mishnah, Reb Meir Rami Yochel Achzaboy. Rameh says, Ed Posel Dainah Shalzeh, Ed Posel Dainah Shalzeh, is a repeat of the Mishnah on Chav Dalet Amenav. Why do you need a repeat of the same Mishnah? So the Gemara says, Tzricha. The Gemara explains why. Because in the Mishnah later, the psul is not such a blatant psul. They're kroivim. So the Bezna is possible for this dintura, for Reuven and Shimon. But this would be a kosher Bezna for a different case. But a kosher Besuria, that Amei Ha'aret, the psul meikar, and then the psul for any dintura. Or is that pasul eidu shalzeh? Is that pasul eidu shalzeh? It's a psul for any din Torah. The Amei Ha'aretz apostle or Deid Echad is possible. So that's Tzrichus. That's why you have to have both the first Mishnah of Gimel Amarav, the second Mishnah, to say that the Machlek Zameh Nachachamim applies in both cases. So that was Rabbi Yechanan's pshat. That was whose pshat was that? That was Rabbi Yechanan said Bakosha Besur Yoshanu. That was Rabbi Yechanan's pshat. Zed pasul dina shalzeh. Zed pasul dina shalzeh. Then Paisal Eid of Shalzeh, so Rabbi Yechanan said, it's talking about a case that Reuven claims he can bring four Eidim. And Shimon, with another Eid Echad, parcel up the first two Eidim that Reuven brings. Is that called Neged Beidus or not? So that depends on this issue, whether it's Tzorch Levar Dvorov or ain't Tzorch Levar Dvorov. Then the Gemara on the bottom line, the Gemara quotes, that was the version, Ki Osu Rav Dimi, Amr Rav Yechanan. That was right in the middle of Chav Gimel Amud Beis. Rav Yechanan lived in Eretz Yisrael. So they used to have Talmidim of Rav Yechanan, used to come to Bavel and tell over Pshotim in the Mishnayos, B'Shem Rav Yechanan. So at one point, Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, Ki Osu Rav Dimi, Amr Rav Yechanan. He said, over the name of Rav Yechanan, Machlekes B'Shtei Kitiyed. Then on the last line it says, Ki Osu Robin Amr Rav Yechanan. When Robin came from Eretz Yisrael, he gave a different pshat. What was his pshat? Also an issue of negeya b'yeduso. Also a case that what? That Reuben and Shimon have it in Torah, and Reuben picked Zebar Le'echad, he picked the dayan, and he brings two edim to the bezin. And Shimon says, your dayan is apostle a dayan, he's a gangster, and your edim apostle a edim. Everything is no good. And he says that, Shimon says it with another Eid Echad. But Shimon is a Negev Beiduso. So what's the halacha Negev Beiduso? Well, what's wrong with Negev Beiduso? So that was the machlekes we said, machlekes achreidim in Shulchan Aruch, the siman about negeh, is negeh possible because of a chashash meshaker, negeh is possible because he's a baldover. So the Gemara says over here, we're talking about a case, Reuven, Zebar Lechad, he picked the dine, and he brings two eidim for the din Torah. And Shimon, with another eid echad, say, your dine is a gangster, and your eidim are also possible eidis. So he's negeh beidusa, but we have two eidim. In the second Mishnah, you have three Mishnahs here on Chav Gimla. First Mishnah is Zabar Lechav Zabar Lechav. The second Mishnah is Zepuzel Dainu Shalzeh. Third case, the third Mishnah was Zepuzel Eidim Shalzeh. So the second Mishnah and the third Mishnah are talking about a similar case. Shimon is tithing the Dayan that Reuven picked as a gangster, Mechal Shabbos, and the Eidim that he brought on Mechal Shabbos. Everything is no good. So we can't accept anything that Shimon says. He's a Neged Beidusa. But then, half of what Shimon said was corroborated because two Edom testified independently of Shimon. Two Edom came and he said he's right. This Dayan is a Mechal Shabbos. He's not a Shem Shabbos. But the Edom, they don't know. Or the next case in the Mishnah, two Edom ascertained that what he said about the Edom is correct. They don't know about the Dayan. Well, the Dayan is also a gangster. So that's what Kiyosa Ravin, Om Rav Yechaman, Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael. He said, over the name of Rabbi Yechanan, that Mishnah Beis and Mishnah Gimel, in the beginning of the parak here, are talking about such a situation. That Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that the psul of Neged Beidusa because of Chashash Meshaker. So if you see that half of what we said is emes, so half of what I said, I was Neged on everything. I said the Dayan is a gangster and the Edom a gangster. I say all three. You pick a Dayan who's no good, a Mechal Shabbos, and you pick the Edom who are Ovri Aveira. So if half of what I said was substantiated by two kosher Edom, so then the other half also, there's no longer a Chashash Meshaker. That's how the Gemara says, Migu de Pasli Dayan, Itzli Nami Edom. Migu de Pasli Edom, Pasli Nami Dayan. You say Migu. Since half of what I said has been substantiated, so even the other half, you're no longer Chashash Meshaker. And the Chachamim say no. Why do the Chachamim say no? You could say either because they hold it's not only a Chashash Meshaker, it's a Psul Baltover. You could say, no, there's still a Chashash Meshaker. Just because half of what I said was substantiated doesn't necessarily mean that the other half is also true.
What kind of Migu is this where they're not connected and yet we're believing him anyway?
Apologize.
Yes. What kind of Migu is this where they're not connected but we're believing them anyways?
It's not what Migu usually means. Migu usually means something totally, totally different. Migu is a totally different. Migu means like this. In the Chumash, it says that if I say you want me $100, you might have a mitzvah, Hashiyami ki hu zeh, but loy zeh, in Parshas Mishpatim, then you swear a shvud derais. Ad ha'alakim yomid darashneh. You swear a shvud derais. But if you koifer hakol, then you don't have to swear. You nemo b'li shvud. So min ha'toyra, koifer hakol is demo b'li shvud. That's only if you say loy lavisi or if you say paraiti. The most direct tain is p'tur. What if instead of saying loy lavisi or paraiti, he says machaltali? Correct. You lent me $1,000 and I never paid it back and I'm not going to pay it back because machalto. That's a fishy taina. Or he says lent me $1,000 and I never paid it back and I'm not going to pay it back because this chayaftali kenegdon. Because your car smashed, you smashed into my car or your animal made a hezek to my property and it's a wash. I owe you $1,000, you owe me $1,000. That's far-fetched. It's chayavta likeregdan punkt, exactly the same amount that you lent me, that's the same amount that your behemoth was mazik me. So then the Gemara says, if I say machalto, or I say nischayavta likeregdan, that's not officially in the list of tainas that's nemon with koifer hakol. That's only nemon b'migud de koifer hakol. If he could have, if the situation is such, that he could have said, Loi Lavisi, if I come with witnesses and they testify that I lent you $1,000 and they were with you ever since the time that you borrowed $1,000, you're in camp together and I was in a different place and they were with you the whole time, they know Bavada, you never paid me back the money. They're with you all day and all night together. So if witnesses testified that Lova, Baloi Parah, and you couldn't have tainted Loi Lavisi, couldn't have tainted Paraiti, then you wouldn't be named to say Machalto on the Schayapta Likinegma. But if you don't have witnesses, and the Nitva could have said, Loi Lavisi, or he could have said, Paraiti, that's the most direct Tainus Ptur. that's called Kaifer HaKol. So any other taina that he advances on that amount of money, he says, Mechalten is chayav to likadegdan, also has the manas. The Tzachoshin writes in one place, it has to be a pasuk. We don't know what the pasuk is. The Gemara never quotes a pasuk. It's not at all the svara. It must be a drasha from a pasuk somewhere. So that's what migu means. Here it means a different migu. The migu over here means the whole reason why Nageh Beidusa's pasuk 8 is according to a mayor is because of chashash mishaker. So if you see that half of what I said, I was Nageh Beidusa on everything that I said. I say the dayan that you picked is a gangster, he's Mechal Shabbos. He's not observant, and the Edom that you picked are not Shomri Mitzvahs. They wrote Pasal Edis and Pasal Adayos. So whatever I say, I'm going to get Beidusi. So you can't believe what I say. But if half of what I said, I'm going to get to the Dine, I'm going to get to the Eid, is substantiated because you have two kosher Edom testify like that, so then even the other half, you're no longer Choshesh that he's Meshachah. How far do you go with the Chashash Meshachah? The whole Chashash Meshachah in the first place was questionable because the Chachamim de Rabbi Yehuda disagree with Rabbi Yehuda about Oyvus and it says you'll never actually be sore lav kach. You never choshed people that there's chashash meshach. So in the, over here, manegeir, you are choshed chashash meshach. But if you had this migu, so it takes off the chashash meshach. You're not concerned anymore. And the Chachamim disagree. Chachamim say either, probably there is still a chashash meshacher, or they hold that the psul of negeir is not because of chashash meshacher, but rather because of baldover. That's the Gemara. So it's similar to what the Gemara said originally. It's similar to what was it? Kiyosu Rabdimi Amar Rabbi Yechon. Rabdimi quoted name Rabbi Yechon also, that the Baldin claims that he has four Edim. And the other Baldin wants to parcel the first two Edim that he brought. We say he's in a gay b'yedusa if he says like that. So the Gemara says, is he in a gay or not? Depends whether tzorch levar or ain't tzorch levar. So this is another version of Rabbi Yechon, he also Rabin of Rabbi Yechon, another version. He said also like that. Also a similar case, but it's only with a migu. If half of what he said has been substantiated, that it's true, then you assume the other half that he said, we're not choshish for sheker anymore. So whereas Rabdimi said it without a migu, so Rabin says it only with a migu, but it's along the same lines. It's very similar. It's along the same lines. So now the Gemara goes back to the comment that they quoted on the bottom of Chav Gimel Amid Aleph, that Reish Lakish, three lines from the bottom of Chav Gimel Amid Aleph, Reish Lakish made a comment. Per Kodesh Eich Yoyim Adob Azeh, he says with such respect about Rav Meir, how can such a holy tzaddik say such a wild thing? Zeh Pesel Edim Shal Zeh. How is that possible? How is he nema to Pesel Edim? It must be Zeh Pesel Edo, Tini Edo. It's only an Ed Echad, and originally he said, I'll accept the Ed Echad, then he backs out. So that's Rav Meir Lishitosa, and the next mission, the same as Rav Meir. Yochel Achzaboy, if he originally accepted Eid Echor, and the Eid didn't testify yet, so then it's not yet Nasa Maisalpim, so he can back out. So the Gemara is wondering, Gufa Amar Eshlokesh Pekodesh Yamadav Azeh, there's such an expression, the Ran on the first daf in the Dorm, the Beis Amar Aleph, quotes the Rabbi Natam. The Ran has a discussion on the first daf, the first domin in the Torah, where the shvua needs shvua b'shem. Does a person takes a shvua not to eat the potato chips, not to eat cookies? So the shvua is binding. He's not allowed to eat potato chips. Is that only binding if he took a shvua b'shem Hashem? What if he didn't take a shvua b'shem Hashem? So the different opinions in the Rishayim. Some hold it's only binding with the Kabbalah, that the pasuk in Chumash, Nefesh Kisi Shoban by Yikra in the Parshas Matos about Shvua is only Shvua B'Hashem. Shvua B'li Haskaris Hashem is only B'Dibri Kabbalah. It's only based on Psukim and Novi. And others disagree. So the Ran quotes in Levi Rabbeinu Tam answer there is contradictions in Sugyas in the Gemara whether Shvua needs Haskaris Shem Hashem or does not need Haskaris Shem Hashem. So Rabbeinu Tam says it depends. Is it Mujman B'Pi Atzma or is it Mujman B'Pi Achem? Did the person accept the Shvua on his own? I take a shvua not to eat fattening coots. The doctor told me I should lose weight, so I take a shvua not to eat the potato chips and not to eat the cookies. Fine. So So that's a mushman mediatzma. I took a shwa mayon. Rabbi Natam says such a shwa doesn't require haskar Hashem Hashem. But if you're going to be a mushman with the acherim, I'm going to force a shvua on you, like, I know that you were witnesses to the halvoy that took place, so I say, I want you to swear, bo v'heiduni. And you say, we don't remember the case. So I say, I want you to swear that you don't remember the case. So I'm forcing a shvua upon you, so it's a mushman with the acherim, and not a mushman with the atzma. Then the Rabbi Natam holds that he has to have shvua b'shem Hashem. That's the Rabbi Natam answers theorists. So the Ran quotes this Rabbi Natan, and he uses such an expression to be hani. How can the holy Rabbi Natan say such a nonsense sheet that doesn't make any sense? So that Ran got the expression from my Shlokish over here. My Shlokish says it about Rabbi Meir. How can Rabbi Meir say such a thing? So he said, Tini Eido. The correct years in the Mishnah should not be Zed Poisel Eidov shall say, it should say Eido, it's only Eid Echoy. And the echad is the same as the Mishnah. You mekabel pasul edim, you mekabel pasul adayonim, you mekabel pasul shvuah. The same as the topic on the Mishnah of Chavdala Menal. So the Gemara says, "Eini." The Gemara asked the kasha, "Rish Lakish was such a holy tzaddik that he spoke with such a language." Pek kodesh eich yom adavah zeh. Rish Lakish was a wild fellow. Rish Lakish used to be a gangster. Before he met Rabbi Yechanan, he married Rabbi Yechanan's sister, and he started learning. Rabbi Yechanan became a big Talmid Chacham. But he was used to being very tough and very rough. He was very sharp. So he speaks such lashonos like the Chafetz Chaim talking about this. He speaks about Rabbi Meir. Pek kodesh yechem etagavzeh. How can the holy Tana Rabbi Meir say such a nonsensical thing? And he said, "Since I'm shot, no, Rabbi Meir must have said like this. No, Rish Lakish was a wild guy." He used to be, the Gemara says, Kol Haraya, Eini. Does that language fit in for Rish Lakish's personality? V'ha Marula, Ula remembered him. Arise Rish Lakish, Bebes HaMedrish, Kilo Oke Hori B'techen and Zeh Bozeh. He was so powerful. When he would talk, he was wild. So this Lashon, Pek Kodesh Echem, that was it, doesn't fit in with his personality. So the Gemara answers, "Amar Avina, halok al Rav Rav Meir, beis Amedush kilu aika harim harim techen and zezeh." So it sounds like the Gemara is answering, "Yeah, it doesn't fit for the personality of Rish Lakish because he was so sharp, but Rav Meir was even more sharp than Rish Lakish." The Gemara says in the first parak in Eruvin that when Rav Meir gave a shir, he used to explain all the logical possibilities. He would say what his opinion is, but he would explain all the logical possibilities, all the different shitas. And at the end of the day, Talmidim missed. They didn't always. Talmidim in the days of the Tanaim were more interested in hearing halacha lemaisa. Today, in a lot of yeshivas, a lot of Talmidim, they don't want to hear a shiur that talks halacha lemaisa. I remember when I was a Talmid in the yeshiva, in Rabbi Gerelik's shiur. So when a student would ask, "How do we paskan halacha lemaisa?" So he'd make fun of him. So he would say, "Call up the Agudas Rabbanim and ask him, how do you paskan halacha lemaisa?" That's not the job of the Rebbe to say how you pass them. That's what some people have that attitude. So in the days of the Tanaim, that was crucial. The Talmidim wanted to hear the Tanaim who were learning by Rabbi Meir, by the other Tanaim, by Rabbi Yudah. They wanted to hear Pilpul, and they wanted to hear why the Rebbe is convinced that it is the Halacha. So because Rabbi Meir would explain all the logical possibilities, and he wouldn't emphasize so much what his own Shita was, so the Talmidim left him, and he was left with hardly anybody. So the next generation, when they were voting what the Psak Halacha should be, so usually Rabbi Meir's Talmidim were the minority. So he usually lost out. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Halacha, Rabbi Yudah. We usually don't paskin like Rabbi Meir. It's rare that we paskin like Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Meir was a bigger Baal Pilpul than Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish was a fantastic Baal Pilpul. He was rough and tough. And Rabbi Meir was Kilo HaKer Hori Horim, Etechen and Zil Bazil. Rav Meir was even a bigger Baal Pilpul than Rish Lakish. So how does that answer the question? The question was, this expression doesn't fit for the personality of Rish Lakish. He was a tough, rough person. He didn't speak like that. Pek Kodesh Yechiyam Adav is there. It doesn't fit for his personality. So what does it help that you answer that Rav Meir was a bigger Baal Pilpul? That's true. Rav Meir was a bigger Baal Pilpul. That's why when they were voting, hardly any of the Talmud, his yeshiva was half empty. He didn't have as many Talmidim as the others because he was such a Baal Pilpul. So how does that answer the question? Doesn't fit for the personality of Rav Meir. So So the Gemara explains on the first wide line, the Hachikomer, despite the fact that Rish Lakish's personality was such that he was tough and rough and so on, he was such a bald pilpul, nonetheless, the Kavod HaTorah was fantastic. Boyu Rei, Kama Mechabevim Zezeh. That's what we're bringing out. Even though it didn't fit with his personality, but when Rish Lakish heard this Mishnah, Rameh says in the Mishnah, it didn't make any sense at all. So he spoke with such hachno and with such respect, and he knocked sense into the statement of Rameh. That's what we're trying to bring out. It's not that it's a kasha, but it doesn't fit with his personality. It does fit. And they tell over a story that Rabbi Yudan Asi was once giving a shir. You're not allowed to do hatmana on Shabbos or an Arab Shabbos. Hatmana means if you cooked some food in a pot and it's still in the klivishon in which the food was cooked. Let's say on Arab Shabbos, the woman benches licht. She has a pot of soup on top of the blech and the fire is on. Then she realizes that the fire went out. She can't turn it on. She was in the Kabbalah Shabbos already. She can't turn on the fire. And her husband's going to come home from shul another 45 minutes, and the soup is going to be cold. So she's very concerned. They're not going to have hot soup. So she takes towels and sheets, and she covers over the pot. And there, Shabbos covers over the pot with the towels and the sheets. So the Gemara says, you're not allowed to do hatmana, even on Erev Shabbos, if it's Dova HaMoisiv Hevel. Hatmana on Shabbos is also, even if it's not Moisiv Hevel, if it's just Mamid Hevel, it retains the heat. And hatmana on Erev Shabbos, they only ask it if it's a Dova HaMoisiv Hevel. So the towels are not Moisiv Hevel. So to put towels around the thing on Erev Shabbos, the maximum Moisiv Hevel does mean that it's going to get hotter and hotter. This pot of soup is going to cool down. Ultimately, it's going to cool down. But when you wrap it around, it'll slow down the cooling down process. So the two types of things that you can wrap it around in. So if you just wrap it around in towels, that's Mamid Hevel. That'll preserve the warmth a little bit. It's going to take long until it's going to cool down. At the end of the day, it is going to cool down, but it'll cause it to take long. So on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do Hatmona, even though it's Mamid Hevel. On Erev Shabbos, just to wrap around in towels, and towels are not a source of heat. But the Mishnah says there are other things that are a source of heat. So if you're going to wrap it around with something that's going to add heat, it's not going to cause the soup to get hotter and hotter. It'll slow down the cooling off process. It'll take longer for it to cool down. So on Erev Shabbos, they made exactly not allowed to do hatmana, only if it's Dovah HaMoisiv Hevel. And on Shabbos, you're not even allowed to do hatmana if it's Dovah HaMamid Hevel. So the gzeira of hatmana was gzeira shemi yatman baremetz. We're afraid maybe the remetz is burning hot coals. Maybe you'll leave a pot in the middle of burning hot coals, and then if you leave the pot and the coals, he'll move the pot. Gzeira shemi echate b'kecholim. He may push around the coals, and if you're mechate b'kecholim, so the Gemara says yechayiv tu chatos. So Gemara increases around Daf Chaf Aleph. Achote b'kecholim on Shabbos. So some of the coals were black, and now you cause them to become orange. And some of the coals were orange, and because you're poking around in the coals, you're going to cause them to become black. So the coals that were black that became orange, yichai mishum havor. Even though the black coals are burning hot, but it wasn't red, it wasn't orange. So when it turns orange, that's called havor. And then when you cause the coal that was orange, you cause it to turn black, that's chai mishum mechabe. So the Gemara says, mechabe ma'avra two different melachot. So somebody is chote b'kecholah b'shoigeg. On Shabbos, it's chayv tu chatos, because that's called chilik malochas l'Shabbos. You don't say, he's mechal Shabbos b'shegik, he's chayv chatos. No, he's chayv chatos for each and every individual malochas that he did. So chote b'kecholim is chayv tu chatos. So the reason why they prohibited hatmona be'erev Shabbos and b'Shabbos, hatmona on Erev Shabbos is only also if it's davar hamoisiv hevel. Hatmona on Shabbos is also even if it's only davar hamamid hevel. The reason for the both prohibitions is gzeira shemi yatman baremetz. He may be matman at burning hot coals, and what's so terrible if it's matman baremetz? And gzeira shemi yachata b'gecholim, and that'll be already a malach. But what if he has not that he has hot soup still in the kli rishon? The Gemara says, what if the soup was cooked in a soup pot, and then you pour it into a different pot? Now the soup is in a kli sheni. Soup is in a kli sheni, so it's already cooled off. If it's still in the original pot, then you choshe shemi echat to b'gechol. If the soup is ready poured in the klisheni, it's not going to be so hot to begin with. So then the Gemara says that whenever goes, the isa hatmana doesn't apply. That was a big machlokes in Europe and before the war, when they invented thermos bottles. So let's say you have a kettle of water on the fire, and then you realize that the fire went out in the middle of Shabbos. So you take the kettle of water, you pour all the burning hot water into a thermos. So you pour it into a klisheni, but the thermos is made in such a way that it should preserve the heat. It's mamet hevel. It's going to preserve the heat for much longer than just putting it on towels. It's going to preserve it for much longer than that. So on Shabbos, you're not permitted to do hatmana even b'dovah hamamet hevel. Yeah, but here it's a klisheni. So that was a big machlekes. So many gedolim held it's a klisheni. The Gemara said beferish, they only prohibited hatmana on Shabbos if the burning hot food, the soup and the hot water, is still in the kli rishon in which it was cooked. Once you put it into another kli, you demonstrated that you're not so interested in keeping it so burning hot. So there's no chashash of hatmana. Others said no, but a thermos bottle, that's what it's manufactured to preserve the heat. It's going to preserve the heat much better than putting towels around the original pot, putting towels around the kettle, putting towels around the pot in which it was cooked on Erev Shabbos. So that was a machlokes, whether you're allowed to pour from a kettle into a thermos bottle on Shabbos. Is that hatmona be klisheni, which they never made zera? I say no, doesn't have that cool of cliche. What about to do hatmona lahatmona satsoinen? It's a hot day and I have ice cold water, and I'm afraid the cold water is gonna become hot from the sun. So I have a bottle of ice cold water. I want to close the bottle, seal it up, and put it into a well that has a lot of cold water there. Or I want to put it in the ground. So the heat is only above the ground. I want to put it below the surface of the ground. So Rebbe came up with a chiddush. Kihodi Yosef Rebbe, the second white line on Chavdal and Manal. Yosef Rebbe, Rebbe was giving shir. Rebbe was the end of the Tkuva Satana. Become also lahatmen esatzonin. Just like they made a gzera, also lahatmen esachamin, so also lahatmen esatzen. Amar far Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi. So one of the Tanaim is there. He said, "Abba, my father, Rabbi Yosi, hit the lahatmen esatzen. My father said that it's mutter." So Rebbe, out of respect, says, "Okay, for her is okay. If that's what Rabbi Yosi said, that's the halacha. There's no isa the rabban hatmane. They only ask the hatmane on a dove cham if it's still in the klivishon. We never ask a hatmane b'dove tzayin." So the Gemara says, who is he concerned about? Omer, apope, boy, rei, kama, b'chabim, zeh, look at the Kavod HaTorah that Rebbe displays. Now, dealer, Rebbe Yosi, kayam, even during the lifetime of Rebbe Yosi, ha'kofel b'yashinei, Rebbe, how do you know? The Rebbe Shmuel, b'Rebbe Yosi, his son, memalem, mekayim, avos, v'havi, boy, ha'kofel b'yashinei, Rebbe, the son was kofel to Rebbe. So the father, during his lifetime, was also kofel to Rebbe. But because Rebbe Yosi already passed in l'hokel, so Rebbe back down, he said, "Come on, kohera zaken." Sure, he accepted the psak of Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi was older than him. Even though Rebbe was a bigger talmid chacham, Rebbe was a chief rabbi, out of respect for Rabbi Yosi, so Rebbe said, "Kohera zaken." That's an expression that's often used in poskim. The Nerd of Yehuda uses it a few times on the Pnei Yeshua. Pnei Yeshua, during his lifetime, was known as a poisek. And he wanted the world to know that he knows how to say pilpul also. So he wrote Pnei Yeshua on the Gemara. So he went on a history as the Baal Pilpul. But during his lifetime, while he was alive, he was known as a big Pesach. And Rabbi Yonis and Ebishtitz was known as a big Baal Pilpul. Talmidim came from all over Europe to Germany at a time that it was against the law, it was forbidden to have a Gemara. And he would make the Yukim. He would say the Lashon Gemara Baal Peh. The Lashon of Rashi, Lashon of Taisus, his Pilpulim were the Yukim and the Lashon of Rashi and Taisus. And everybody was sitting and writing notes. They didn't have a text of a Gemara in front of them. He made Pilpulim. So he wanted everybody in the generation to know that he knows how to pass in Shailas also. So he wrote the Ur V'tumim HaShemishmat, he wrote the crazy place on Yeriday. So Rabbi Yonis and Ebishitz, he's known as the Rebbe Rabbi Yonis. Rabbi Yonis and Ebishitz went down in history as a Paisik. The Tumim, the Ktsois and the Sivis, he always quote the Tumim. And the Pnei Yeshua went down in history as a Baal Pilpul. And the truth of the matter was that they really the reverse. Pnei Yeshua, they were contemporaries. Pnei Yeshua, during his lifetime, was known as a big Moir Hayra. And the Nadi Yehuda a few times writes on Psochem of the Pnei Yeshua, Fahir Azakin, he was older than him. He says he accepts his Psoch. That's how Rebbe says over here, out of respect. So that's what they said. Rish Lakish had a sharp tongue. And he was a charif, and he would say pilpul, And when people saw him at his medrash, it's like Okoharim Atochanam Zeb Zeb. And nonetheless, he had such respect for Rabbi Meir, he said, Pek Kodesh Eichem Adova Zeh can't be, it must be, it's a misprint in the Mishnah, it should say Zeh Paisal Eidov Shel Zeh. It can't be that Rabbi Meir said Zeh Paisal Eidov Shel Zeh. It's talking, he was Mekabal Eirechot Kishnayim, and it's the same Achleikas, Rabbi Meir and Achachamim, is identical with the Mishnah later, whatever the discussion is. Macholach, Etenlach, Lifnei Gmardin, Lacham Gmardin, whatever the story is there, that's the same story over here. And the Gemara has a little bit of an agadah about the difference in the Derech HaLimud between Eretz Yisrael and Bovel. The Gemara says, why is it called Bovel, my Bovel, right before the Mishnah? Am Rabbi Yechon, Belula b'Mikra, Belula b'Mishnah, Belula b'Talmud. What does that mean? So the top tesis is a famous tesis. There's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yutes, a Gemara in Kiddushin also in the first peri. The Gemara says the other mishalos shadim shnoisa v'shlish b'mikra shlish b'mishnah v'shlish b'talmud. So there's a big machlekes of Rishonim what that means. So the Goyim are of the opinion. Tosfos quotes the Goyim. Goyim are of the opinion. There's a din. You have to be kaveh itim latur. Every person has to be kaveh itim latur. A little bit you have to learn. You have to learn a little bit every day. Whenever the Chumash writes a Mishnah and it's unclear how often, whenever the Chumash writes a mitzvah and it's unclear how often the mitzvah has to be fulfilled, it's understood it's once a day, every day, like it says davening. So the Rambam understood l'yovda b'chol levavchem avodah shebelev is tefila. That's the Gemara, that base on an aleph and tainus. So it's unclear how often they have to daven. Halavai shispalarim kalayam kulam. Okay, should daven all day long. So the Rambam understands, whenever it's unclear, it means once a day, every day. If tefillah, the arise is once a day, every day. The fact that we sometimes daven three times a day, four times a day, five times a day, that's midirabbanan. Once a day, every day is minatur. You have to like tefillah, we assume, usually once a day, every day. So here also it says, how do they know? Gemara says, by duchening, the kohanim are mechuyev to duchen, when called upon. Gemara says, then only mechuyev to duchen once a day, every day. They're not mechuyev to duchen a second time in the day. Let's say you call upon them by Shachris to Duchen, and then you call upon them by Musaf. So that's midirabban. If you call them Duchen by Shachris and Musaf, that's midirabban. Or if they Duchen in the first minion, then the second minion wants them to Duchen also. That's either midirabban and they're not Mechuyev. Not Mechuyev to Duchen the second time. And the same thing, Talmud Torah. Same thing, Talmud Torah. A person is Mechuyev to learn a little bit every day. If you would only have the Pasuk in Chumash, To learn Torah all the time, so it means to learn a little bit every day, to learn 5 minutes every day. The Gemara says Yoytze v'Kriya Shema. Now that you have the pasuk in Sefer Yoshua that says V'Hagisa v'Yom v'Loyva, so you have to learn a little bit every day, a little bit every night. If not for the pasuk in Yeshua, you would have said 5 minutes every day is good enough. Doesn't have to be 5 minutes every day, 5 minutes every night. Yeah. Some opinions in the Gemara hold that Kriya Shema is lav deraisa. It says you should learn v'dibartabam v'shachbacha uv'kumecha. So one opinion in the Gemara is that Kriya Shema is lav deraisa. That pasuk says v'dibartabam does mean you have to say Shema v'ayam Shemaya Yemava Sedra. So the pasuk, that's the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and the pasuk in Chumash says v'dibartabam v'shachbacha uv'kumecha. You have to learn a little bit every day, a little bit every night. We don't pasken like that. We pasken the Barta Bam Shach B'chav Kamecha goes on Kriya Shema. It doesn't go on Talmud Torah. So Talmud Torah in the Chumash says you should learn. So it means 5 minutes every day. But the Pasuk in Yeshua says like that. So based on the Pasuk in Yeshua, that's Megala Pshat in the Pasuk in Chumash, it's not enough to learn 5 minutes every day. You have to be Kaveh Itim Latar to learn 5 minutes every day, 5 minutes every night. Person will not become a Talmud Chacham if he's going to just learn 5 minutes every day, 5 minutes every night. Okay, but as yotze the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, you have to have kviya sitem latar. So the goyim are of the opinion that the only mishalosh adish noisav shlish b'mikra shlish b'mishna shlish b'talmud is a din in kviya sitem latar. You have to be kaveh itim latar to learn 5 minutes every day, 5 minutes every night. So the 5 minutes should be a little bit Tanakh, a little bit halacha, and a little bit gemara, a little bit gemara. So that's why we say birchas haTorah in the morning. Then we say Parshas HaTomid. Then we say Ezel Mekoyman. Then we say the Brisa Rabbi Shmuel. The Rambam does not learn like the Gaon. The Rambam learns that halacha, Yishalom Shadam Shnoisov, means that a person's learning should be balanced. There are some people, they just learn Tanakh all the time, and a little bit halacha. Other people, they're always learning halacha, and they're barely looking into a Tanakh. Other people always learning Gemara, they're not learning any halacha. So that's not right. The Rambam says your learning should be balanced. One third of all of your learning should be Tanakh. One third of all of your learning should be halacha lemaisa, mishnah. Mishnah means halacha lemaisa. One third of all of your learning should be Gemara. But the Tosfos quotes the Gaonim that it's not a din that the learning should be balanced. According to the Rambam, it makes good sense. Learning should be balanced. Then the Rambam says that this shlish b'mikra, shlish b'mishnah, shlish b'talmud. The Rambam writes a humorous case: a poor fellow works for a living. He only has 9 hours a day to learn. So 3 hours of the 9 hours a day that he has to learn, he should spend learning Tanakh. 3 hours he should learn halacha, and 3 hours a day he should learn Gemara to understand how to figure out the halacha. Then the Rambam says this is only when he's beginning. But then after when he reaches the age of 50, 60, he already knows Tanakh. So what is it? He doesn't have to spend so much time on Tanakh. So his learning will be balanced if he concentrates on Gemara all the time, because everything will be balanced already. In the beginning, when you're first starting out, the learning should, that's how the Rambam learns, learning should be balanced. So that's a fundamental machlekes, the Rambam, the Gaon, what the pshat is, mikra, shlish b'mishnah, shlish b'tam. So Rabbi Natam has a surprising statement. He says, when the Gemara says, my bovel, lula b'mikra, b'mishnah, b'gemara, the Gemara means to say that by learning Talmud Bavli, Ashkenazim always followed this Rabbi Natam. There's no need to spend time learning Tanakh, to spend time learning Sifri Halacha. When we learn Talmud Bavli, everything is included. That's if you cover a couple of blot every day. You just cover 5 lines in a Tosfos, or 5 lines in the Gemara. That's not going to be, sometimes it won't even be Mikra, Mishnah, or Gemara. It'll be none of the above. But if you learn a couple of blot every day, so then the Rabbi Natam says everything is included. So the Ramah quotes this a few times in Shulchan Aruch. In Hilchas Yerideh, in Hilchas Talmud Torah. So the Mechaba quotes, you have to learn Shlish B'mikra, Shlish Mishnah, Shlish Gemara. So the Ramah says, we learn Talmud Bavli, everything is included. Then in Aruch Haim, it says, the Bal Tfilah, the Shliach Tzibur, should be one who's knowledgeable in Tanakh, so you should know what the Piyutim are referring to. Because the Piyutim are composed in a difficult biblical Hebrew. So the Ramah says, the Rabbonim don't know Tanakh, so the Chazanim don't have to know Tanakh either. The Ramah keeps on knocking it down. Mechaba always quotes the din from the Rambam, from the Gemara. Yishalda shalom shnosu. And the Ramah always says, Minig Ashkenaz is like this, Rabbi Natan. We learn Talmud Bavli, we yotze everything with that. Okay. Well, you know that tomorrow, maybe I'll learn about this. Netziv in the Hakdama to his commentary on the Shiltas has a comment on this Gemara about Makel Chovlim and Makel Noam. So maybe tomorrow we'll start from that Netziv, and then we'll continue in the next Sugya. Next Sugya, most of it we learned already.
Rabbi, we're supposed to have one.